If you have been unfortunate enough, and gosh, I hope this hasn't happened to you, but if you have been involved in a car accident of some kind, you've probably had something to do with the Road Accident Fund, the RAF, notoriously a difficult organization for many reasons. And apparently there have been some significant changes made to the whole claiming process. And for that reason, I thought let's chat to Geert Nel, who is a seasoned legal advisor specializing in RAF claims. Geert, thank you for joining us on 101.9. On High FM this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon, for the opportunity, and thank you to the listeners as well.
So before we get on to changes, Geert, I got to tell you, when I even heard that this was an issue, I kind of balked at the sight of RAF. I thought they were in terrible trouble, bankrupt, and about to cease to function. Is that clearly not the case?
No, Simon, just to put the listeners at ease, I mean, the fund is still up and running, even though it's not running on all its cylinders at the moment. I think with the impending investigation that we're all expecting or would be looking at with great expectation in that should start now in September and October, hopefully the outcome of that investigation will provide proper guidelines for the Road Accident Fund to get themselves or their house in order.
Are they solvent?
No, they've never been solvent, and Simon, I think the listeners should appreciate, the way that they determine that is whether the fund would have enough funds to pay every single claim once off, and obviously they will never be able to do that. So they're on the pay as you earn or pay as you go system. So okay. Obviously, for the claims that should come up for payment on any particular date, they should have enough money for that. If obviously they allocate the money the way that they're supposed to do that, and probably that would. It would also come out in the scope of investigation. I think we're all keen to see exactly how the Road Accident Fund is spending the fuel levy that we all pay for, every time we fill up at the fuel stations.
Geert, we'll get to the mediation in just a moment, but I'm remembering RAF from years back when I was more involved with it. I haven't been for absolutely ages, but I remember then already, and I'm talking like 10, 15 years ago, the award amounts were low. I mean, really, really low. Awful things would happen to you, and you would get a claim of 150,000 rand or something like that. How are you supposed to live for the rest of your life, injured and broken on 150,000 rand? Like, that boggles the brain.
Yeah. Well, times have changed, Simon, and I think you should get the right attorney because, obviously that also plays a huge part in quantifying the claims at the end of the day. It is indeed so, and I think that is one of the reasons why the Act was changed in 2008 to get rid of these smaller claims. We affectionately refer to whiplash kind of injuries. Those were off the cuff, lodge and settle matters. And I think that is exactly why the Act has changed to the extent that we see the values of claims that we're having to deal with today is much more than it was in the past. But that was exactly the intention of the amendment, was to make sure that deserving victims, people that had or suffered life-altering accidents and trauma due to car crashes get their
compensation.
And that brings us, unfortunately, to where we are today.
And then just last issue in that regard, in South African law, isn't there an issue about the loss of a life, that you can't be compensated for a loss of a life? Isn't that an unusual oddity in South African law as opposed to American law?
No, you can. I mean, if it's a loss of support claim, let's say, for instance, your spouse, falls away due to an accident and you can prove, obviously comply with the requirement, you can claim, for that. And at the very least, you can claim the funeral expenses, in some instances, and it's obviously a bit sensitive, but where children are involved in accidents, the most that the families would be able to claim is for the funeral, but definitely there are claims. Our law is not that draconic. It definitely caters for certain matters under certain circumstances.
Okay, and then let's talk about how introducing mediation into the process is going to assist streamline it. Or will it? Or will it is the question.
No, Simon, no. I think the intention might have been to streamline the process due to the top-heavy court rolls that we're seeing, you know, on a daily basis, in especially where we litigate North Gauteng High Court. But I think it was a bit premature in the making, because the Road Accident Fund, I mean, they've been labeled a delinquent litigant for ages now. So I think for the powers that be that thought that a mandatory mediation as opposed to voluntary mediation that we see in the actual uniform rules of court is something totally different. You can't compel the Road Accident Fund, or you couldn't in the past. Now you can, but they still don't, comply with the requirements in terms of the mandatory requirements for, as set out in the directive. So, you know, we've all seen this newspaper article today on the MoneyWeb page where advocate Erasmus mentioned that in, I think, 5 months' time, there's only been 3 successful mediations. And you can accept, if we accept that there are 300 matters on a court roll per month, and only 3 have been successfully mediated with Road Accident Fund, that in itself should show you that mediation isn't the right solution for RAF matters. The fund simply doesn't have the resources to deal with that volume of matters. And unfortunately, I think, the judge president, with all due respect, miscued this. Interestingly enough, the moment that the practice directive was published, the Road Accident Fund instructed the state attorney not to mediate on matters that are not board notice compliant. I mean, I see McIntosh Pulela in this very same article said that the Road Accident Fund are in support of this mandatory mediation. I don't think the Road Accident Fund actually did the math to see exactly what the cost implication, because just to explain to the listeners what this means for the regular plaintiff at the moment is, if I've got a trial date secured for the 28th of August, and that date I've been waiting for 4 years now already, what that means is my attorney is now obligated to comply with this new mandatory mediation directive, which means that matter is placed on another roll. Just as a matter of interest, we always historically dealt with one civil roll, only one roll, all of these years. But, post this publication of the mandatory mediation directive, there is now 5 court rolls that we have to navigate. So all that the registrars are doing is they're taking these matters that were set down on the civil roll, and they place them, for instance, on the default judgment roll or the trial roll. So now I have to reapply to get that very same date back. So I have to give notice to the Road Accident Fund to mediate, which they don't respond to. I go to court, and what happens then is I lose that date on the 28th of August, and having to apply for a date 2 or 3 weeks after that. So essentially what's happening is that plaintiffs are losing their trial dates and having to reapply for the very same date, only to be kicked down the road for another 2 or 3 weeks, and in some instances, months, because we're entering or closing, the year's coming to a close. So all the matters that we foresee on the September, October, November rolls are going to be kicked into 2026. So people that were expecting to settle their matters this year are now, due to this new mediation directive, gonna have to negotiate their matters into 2026, which is a total abomination of what the law and the Constitution stands for. If you look at what Section 34 of the Constitution says, that any person has a constitutional right to have his matter speedily determined and resolved. And what this mandatory mediation directive is doing is exactly the opposite.
Gerard, we're going to leave it there. I can't believe what I've heard from you this afternoon. I mean, you almost think a paid idiot sitting in a room to say, how can we make things more difficult for people? Let's implement it. It's just mind-blowing. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it.